I'm Dr. Adelaide Hebert from the University of Texas Medical School in Houston, Texas, in the United States, and I'm pleased to discuss with you today new horizons in pediatric dermatology diseases. I will cover with you today an overview of atopic dermatitis, encompassing what are the current advances in atopic dermatitis, and how will these advances actually influence our patient care. I will touch on the current guidelines of care for atopic dermatitis as they vary somewhat across the world, but have many commonalities. I will discuss advances in atopic dermatitis, particularly with emphasis of the greater understanding of the pathophysiology that has emerged over the past few years. We will also discuss current therapies. In the United States, in our major journal, the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology, we have publications that tell us that use of moisturizers is really a cornerstone of therapy. And as you will see in the slides that follow, our European colleagues also agree that baseline therapy truly encompasses emollient therapy on a daily basis, irrespective of the status of the skin. We know there are the many background causations that lead to atopic dermatitis. These encompass both genetic variations and mutations in the flagrant gene, modern lifestyle and pollution, some epigenetic modification, changes in gene expression or function. And we also know that there is a dysregulation of the innate and the adaptive immunity. This greatly impacts the skin. We know that there is an abnormal barrier, and this is one of the most straightforward components that we wish to address today. Now, here's an example of one of my patients who clearly has a defective barrier, both on the basis of disease, but also secondary to the child's constant scratching. We know that the barrier abnormality is not considered just an epiphenomenon, but is truly considered one of the initiators of the pathogenesis of this disease state. Now, this is a Whipple ball held by my son, and I often use this as an example to give visual context to the patients and parents when I'm providing education and care for those with atopic dermatitis. I cite that this ball has many holes in it, and the parents are to think about the skin as being much the same. Those holes allow transepidermal water loss, as well as enhanced penetration of allergens and infectious agents. Thus, one of our roles in educating patients and parents is to have them know how to seal these breaks in the skin or seal the holes in the Whipple ball, such that we reduce transepidermal water loss and egress of agents that can trigger atopic dermatitis. We know that this defect in the barrier and these penetrating agents and loss of water contribute to both inflammation as well as pruritus. We have a number of recent pathogenesis papers that look at the true trinity. We need to think about atopic dermatitis as an embrace between the barrier defect, allergy, and pruritus. These can be considered a trinity. Now, here is a schematic that beautifully illustrates what I have recently described. Here we see impact of the environment and reduction in flagrant on barrier disruption. We can also see that pruritus and scratching lead to further barrier disruption. We know that a Th2 profile is very common in the development of atopic dermatitis. Inflammation is one of the hallmarks of atopic dermatitis and can manifest as acute, subacute, or chronic dermatitis. We recognize there is an increase in inflammatory cytokines, tumor necrosis factor, and certain interleukins encompassing IL-4, IL-9, and IL-22. In addition, we see the role of plasma cells, mast cells, eosinophils, B and T lymphocytes in this disease trajectory. So what is the role then of oxidative stress in various disease states? This is something that has gained greater attention recently. We know that oxidative stress is actually defined as the formation of oxidants in the cells of the human body that accumulate or chronically exceed the capacity of the antioxidants to defend the skin or other organs. We recognize oxidative stress over many years as playing key roles in cardiovascular disease, diabetes, neurodegenerative disorders, inflammatory diseases, as well as cancer. But our focus today is on atopic dermatitis. So I want to relay to you some new findings with regard to oxidative stress in this skin condition. We've seen a number of reports looking at oxidative stress as well as antioxidative strategies within the realm of dermatology. And we know that numerous skin diseases can have an unfavorable impact due to this oxidative stress. And we recognize as well that oxidative stress is playing a very key role in atopic dermatitis, although it's a lesser component in some ways than the trinity that I described to you before. I think this is an emerging concept that warrants further evaluation and thought. We recognize the direct damage to the cellular structures of skin, but also the increase in dermal inflammation and the weakening overall of the skin barrier. Thus, there can be enhanced penetration by both microbial and viral pathogens. Now, a number of colleagues have also published on oxidative stress in atopic dermatitis, and there have been a number of studies over the past 28 years. It is believed, although it has not been emphasized until recently, that oxidative stress plays a key role in atopic dermatitis, and it really may lead to furthering this disease state in terms of pathogenesis. We know that oxidative stress promotes tissue inflammation because there is upregulation of those genes that produce pro-inflammatory cytokines. Inflammatory cells in turn release free radicals, and thus atopic dermatitis is greatly impacted by this oxidative stress. We know that there can be environmental, physical, emotional, and psychological causations that increase oxidative stress, particularly in the arena of atopic dermatitis. But in addition, one has to think about air pollution, tobacco smoke, volatile organic compounds, formaldehyde, even toluene, nitrogen dioxide, particulate matter in the air. All of these contribute to worsening of a defective barrier. Now, other things that are recognized to cause oxidative stress repercussions are an activation of NF-kappa-beta pathways, which activate gene expression, unfortunately, in an unfavorable way in this disease state, and the synthesis also of antioxidant enzymes. This results in direct damage to those epidermal keratinocytes in the skin. These contribute to DNA damage, damage to cellular enzymes, and damage to cell membrane structures because of lipid oxidation. We know that environmental factors play a key role in atopic dermatitis. Certainly, air pollution can be problematic. This has been demonstrated in many arenas. In contrast, however, those children who grow up in environments like third world countries where they have very little cleanliness and they grow up in a barn, they may tolerate these more effectively than those of us who live in first or second world countries throughout the world. We know the key role that emollients play in atopic dermatitis. These are varied in content and in purpose, and we have first generation, second generation, third generation agents that we use as emollients, but some of the new formulations are particularly of interest because they're more targeted. And one of the key ingredients that has been recognized recently to play a role in a therapeutic moisturizer is that of furfural palmitate. This has impact on reducing pruritus, but also improving the overall status of the skin barrier. Now, we recognize this other paper recently published that looks at an antioxidant property of furfural palmitate in the skin when applied over an 8-week period. And the patients improved dramatically as a result of use of this therapeutic moisturizer. We also want to think about this new arena of moisturizers. They contain antioxidants, they contain vitamins, polyphenols, furfural palmitate, or grapeseed oil. These contribute to the antipruritic effect, and they definitely improve the symptomatology as well as the barrier in those who suffer with atopic dermatitis. We know there is a beneficial effect as a result of using the antioxidant furfural palmitate in patients who suffer with atopic dermatitis. This is one of the ways that we can actually repair the skin barrier in a therapeutic manner by using an agent that is readily available. I've illustrated for you in the lower left-hand corner the role of an antioxidant as it approaches a free radical and neutralizes it. Now, recently, I published in the International Journal of Women's Dermatology a specific targeted article that looks at oxidative stress as a treatment target in atopic dermatitis and the importance of using agents such as furfural palmitate in mild to moderate atopic dermatitis as a means to alleviate the symptomatology, but also the barrier defect in this disease. Now, I've illustrated here the skin barrier abnormality, the allergy immunology trilogy, along with pruritus, and the really central role that oxidative stress plays in this particular arena. We really want to be able to control the inflammation, the barrier dysfunction, the cytokine abnormalities that occur in atopic dermatitis. All these trigger an abnormal immune response, and that needs to be brought under control. We know that indeed, if we can control oxidative stress, we help the overall status of atopic dermatitis in many arenas. Now, there have been recently in the literature some articles on the prescription emollient device that is enriched with furfural palmitate. It's the key antioxidant agent in this particular emollient. It shows that it's both safe and effective in treating atopic dermatitis. This is really an adjunct product to moisturizers and may be even considered a true replacement for topical corticosteroids as well as calcineurin inhibitors. Now, looking again at my article in the International Journal of Women's Derm, we really want to think about this alternative pharmaceutical antioxidant agent that contains furfural palmitate or its derivatives because it can provide a safe, non-steroid-based agent in the management strategy for atopic dermatitis. Again, this agent being both safe and efficacious. So what topical antioxidants can be used in atopic dermatitis therapy? We really want to remind you about a new targeted therapy strategy, which encompasses an emollient device enriched with furfural palmitate. And in conclusion, I leave with you the construct that atopic dermatitis remains a very challenging condition, both to understand and to manage, although our management strategies are improving daily. We want to carefully understand the impact of oxidative stress in atopic dermatitis and identify those potential new agents who will help us with barrier repair. There exists a new generation of prescription emollient devices that are enriched with furfural palmitate, which have the capacity to serve as topical antioxidants, targeted treatment towards oxidative stress that underlines atopic dermatitis. We'll look next at a new therapeutic horizon for diaper dermatitis, another challenging arena within the pediatric dermatology spectrum. Diaper dermatitis in some arenas is also called diaper rash or nappy dermatitis, and it's the most common skin eruption seen in infants and toddlers. And there have been several technological advances in diaper design that help lessen the severity of diaper dermatitis. And this has become particularly true in the arena of the disposable diaper. But due to the unique environment posed by the diaper, we recognize that there can be recurring symptomatology as a function of wearing the diaper itself. Now, there are several mechanisms that lead to the pathophysiology of diaper dermatitis. These include irritation, a skin barrier defect, inflammation, and microbial contamination. There is a scientific rationale in designing a benefit of a therapeutic agent applied to the diaper area when one has diaper dermatitis. These encompass barrier creams, such as zinc oxide, repair creams, such as dexpanthenol, anti-inflammatory properties, taurine, and the antimicrobial properties encompassed in zinc gluconate. There is a clinical evidence-based paradigm that we now follow. We know that we have a formulation with a combination that encompasses many of the components that I just mentioned, zinc oxide, dexpanthenol, taurine, zinc gluconate, almond oil. These are all found in Relizima baby care cream and in Relizima spray and go. These have been evaluated and shown to have good protective properties and reduction of erythema properties with good cosmetic acceptability, both to the patient and to the parent. There have been a number of tests performed on infants aged 3 to 36 months with the range in Fitzpatrick skin types from 1 to 4. Although there was occasional irritation in the diaper area, many of the patients tolerated this product with good outcomes. Let's look at the impact of Relizumab Baby Care and Relizumab Spray and Go in the reduction of skin erythema in infants and toddlers who had diaper dermatitis. And here is a 2-week schematic drawing looking at the improvement from day 0, also a key metric point at day 14, but look at the marked improvement that was present at day 28. We saw these patients go from quite severe skin dermatitis with inflammation, and they went all the way up to improvement in the greater than 90% to almost 100% arena. Now, in conclusion, I've shared with you the 4 main pathophysiologic mechanisms in the propagation of diaper dermatitis symptoms, encompassing irritation, a skin barrier defect, inflammation, and microbial contamination. And as a result of understanding this pathophysiology, there was a recent study looking at children between the ages of 3 to 36 months using a novel combination that encompassed zinc oxide, dexpanthenol, taurine, zinc gluconate, that have been shown to be very efficacious as well as safe add-ons for managing and preventing diaper dermatitis. Thank you for your attention today.